Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. It is good to be here. I'm glad that you all are out here, and whether you are joining us online or in person, it is the Lord's Day. And today, we will worship together. The first thing I have to tell you, it doesn't have anything to do with the series that we're on right now, but it definitely gives you a view of what it's like to have your life as full-time ministry. I was teaching Max how to ride his bike, and he finally got it after 4.5 years of full and undivided attention from me. And so I'm holding the back of his bike, and he's riding along, and he's doing great. He's like, wow. I said, you know, I was giving him the encouragement and motivation that a father can give. And I send him on, and he says, wow, I can finally get away from that dumb fox in this neighborhood. Except he didn't say dumb. He said another naughty word. And I was like, Max, where did you get that from? You've never heard me say that word before. And before you say, well, are you sure? Remember, I grew up in a household where the word dancing was a bad word because we all know what saying the word dancing leads to as well. So I said, Max, where did you learn that? And he says, completely deadpan, the teens. Which I know is not true. But it's just funny. It struck me as funny, and it was something that I couldn't wait to share with you all. Because we all have a lot of work to do, apparently. Today, we're going to be continuing our series of Hearing from God. The God of the Bible motivates us, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. How he motivates us and how we can motivate each other to participate in the vision of the church and in our church in the way and the direction that we're going. Motivation is defined as the desire to act and move toward a goal, and in our case, a vision. And our vision is we will be God's heart to this community. No, I didn't expect you to get that. We've only said it 3 million times. We will be God's heart to the community. In just about every aspect of our lives, motivation plays a big part. Doing something or someone motivates us to do something or the other. In fact, something motivated you to get up this morning, get on your Sunday best, and come in to hear the worship. I know you were looking down the roster, you saw, wow, Sammy's speaking today. Good 10-minute sermon. I'm good to go, right? That's your motivation. All right, I see. But there's no better place than on this planet, I think, than to get motivation than to hear from a college football coach. John Heisman, you've probably heard his name before, has his name attributed to the college football trophy. Two quotes are attributed to him. He said, one, gentlemen, it is better to have died a small boy than to fumble this football. And another quote that's attributed to him, he says, don't cuss, don't argue with the officials, and don't lose the game. And I think both of those quotes, not only we're able to understand why he is such a giant, a titan in college football, but also a great motivator. And this type of motivation, this type of getting people to understand what you're seeking, gives them ownership in the cause. And I think that's not only how God motivates us to give us ownership in the vision that we have, but how we can motivate each other. Because when you have ownership in the cause, you take ownership in the vision. Now, if you can join me in the book of Nehemiah, let's turn there. Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're continuing reading in this book. We have Nehemiah chapter 2. And so Nehemiah is after receiving permission from the king to go and inspect Jerusalem's walls and to see what needs to be done. He starts to check the different gates. He starts to check gates as to what's happening and what has gone on and what he can do, not only to help build or rebuild those walls, but how he can motivate others. And I want to look at verse 17 and 18 in particular. It says, then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in and how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build, so that they strengthen their hands for the good work Now we can read from this, and we read from the preparation that goes on here, that Nehemiah wanted to prove himself to be a hard worker. But hard work alone wasn't going to define his success, and wasn't going to ensure that. It must be the right work at the right time, done in the right way. And as Robin mentioned last week, that takes planning. It also takes listening to God. And we know from the scriptures that Nehemiah was a person, a man, whose frequent recourse was to prayer. And that's something that I think that we can take solace in as well. No doubt, that's where Nehemiah received a lot of his motivation. Praying and trusting in God was the first step. And research came next as he's riding along on his mount and looking at some of these gates. Nehemiah, he wanted to assess the situation before presenting his project to the officials and the people. And he was able to discern the proper time and present the building project. He knew how to motivate the leaders and the people at that time in the same way that God motivates us. Listen to these 4 points here. Nehemiah, he identified with the people. He spoke of the trouble that the people had been in, and he understood what they were going through. When we have the God that identifies with us and knows what we're going through, that helps motivate us every day. Number two, he stressed the situation, the seriousness of the situation. There was something that needed to be done, and he was going to go do it, but not alone. He was going to do it in progression, with preparation, and with the help of the people, and not on his own. And he was committed to taking definite action. And God wants us to be committed to the action that he set before us. And finally, he used his personal testimony of God's grace. So Nehemiah, he led in faith and he led in action. And so as he motivated the people, so we must motivate each other to look at what our vision is for this community as we embark on this new vision. We bring this new vision into fruition. We've got to approach it with compassion. We've got to approach it with conviction. And we have to approach it with faith. So if you remember anything from what Robin said last week, he said, Christianity is not a spectator sport. When it comes to vision, we've got to get off the sideline. We've got to get out of our seats and help each other visualize and realize what the vision is. You remember the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you want to turn with me real quick, that chapter is full of someone so young, but so involved and engaged with Christ, or with God at that point, engaged with God about what his vision was and what he needed to do. Now you remember, of course, Goliath is challenging the Israelites openly and defying them and defying God. And David is the only one to stand up to this challenge. You look at verse 32 in chapter 17. As he was going out and giving food to his brothers, and he was coming back, and he hears Goliath shouting out and openly defying God. And he says, why isn't anyone standing up to this person? Why hasn't anyone taken on this challenge? And in verse 32, he says, and David said to Saul, let no one man's heart fail because of this person. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when they came, a lion or a bear, and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him, delivered it from his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant who has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine, shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And finally here in verse 37, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. David, like Nehemiah, takes ownership here. He doesn't rest on his own power, but his confidence is in God. He takes ownership of the cause, and he knows what must be done. And I think when we think about how do we take ownership in what is happening in this church and what may happen in the future, how do we take ownership in that cause? What do we have to do? We think about, again, how David was confident. He literally brought rocks to a spear fight. And yet it wasn't about him. It was about God. And he said, and truthfully, it can be said that Both Nehemiah and David, they grasped what God was calling them to do and they ran toward it. And I think in the same way, we can look at the building blocks that God has set in front of us, the things that God has set in front of us to do. And for the research that has been done in our community, what can we do with that? And some people say, well, how sure were they? How did they know what they were supposed to do? Did they know? How sure were they to take on the cause that was in front of them? And I think they were very aware. I think Nehemiah, again, we see that he approached things very methodically and definitely approached it, number one, with prayer. Didn't take a step without talking to God first. And David, we know that he's a man after God's own heart, also knew that it wasn't about him, but it was about God. But even if they didn't know, they still went forward and they still said, look, what we've got in front of us, we're taking ownership of that. We will be a part of that cause. And I guess we can also ask, how do we know that we're moving in the right direction? How do we do that? So it's been said, and truthfully so, that we've had a chance, we've had chances before to take full advantage of community outreach, and maybe we didn't do that. But what happened here is that we have another chance. We have another shot to do, to reach out to our community, and we don't often get those. We've got to get off the sidelines and get in the game, no matter who we are. And which, that doesn't necessarily mean to get in the game blindly. We're not talking about this and saying, just go do it because we said so. Do your due diligence as you've done before. Talk with each other, motivate each other, challenge our shepherds and our leaders and our staff and say, are we approaching it the right way? That's the only way we can proceed as a congregation, so that it is not about us. And if God is here, and if this is supposed to be done, and this is his will, no agendas, no words, no bad attitudes will get in the way of what God wants to do. And that's how we can be sure that we are going in the right direction. And maybe it's something that we're holding on to, something that we're grasping onto that's keeping us from taking ownership in this cause. So maybe we need to think about, what is it? What are the Goliaths that may be in our way? What are the obstacles that may be standing in our way that we aren't able to fully grasp where our congregation is going and the things that God has set out in front of us? So I did a very unscientific poll with my teens. And I apologize to the Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology, of which I went to, for doing an unscientific poll. But I asked them, I said, teens, what motivates you to do the things in the day that you do? And one teen, out of 14 or 15 that I asked, said the relief of getting it over with, of being done, of getting to the next stage, of finding a checkpoint. And wow, boy, what a fantastic thing to say. To say, because I think this is where God wants to get us. We read in Isaiah chapter 40, 28 and 31 again, if we want to put that up. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. We're talking about a God who's all-knowing and all-powerful is here to lead us. The creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint. He doesn't grow weary. When we do, he doesn't. And that's what should motivate us and continue to motivate us. And at the end of that, he says, but they who wait for the Lord, which again is one of those critical parts, not getting ahead of where God wants us to be, but taking it step by step. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. If that isn't motivation that can carry us, not only here in what we're doing right here, but in your lives, in every part of your life, boy, I don't know what there is that can help us in that way. And also, a lack of motivation plays just as big of a part if we don't do something. There are often obstacles that stand in our way that kill our motivation. Doubt, feeling like we don't matter, we can't accomplish a task that's set in front of us. But I think that's where Psalm 34 comes in. That's why I wanted that read today, because it says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears them and delivers them from most of their troubles, all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Now, if you are any type of fan of most Virginia sports, you know what it means to be crushed in spirit. You know what it means to just have all hope lost. But when we're talking about things that matter, when we're talking about things that are dear and near to our heart. The Lord is near. And all of these afflictions, he raises up and saves us. I was talking with a new mother, and I had a conversation with her about some milestones that her new baby was fulfilling, flipping over, walking, eating solid food, and that type of thing. And it was interesting because she was really excited about, again, these milestones that the baby was hitting. And she said, isn't it interesting that maybe God looks at us that way? We think that, yes, some milestones that we've hit, some things that we've done are great. But we know when we're watching a baby flip over and eat solid foods that there's so much more for that baby, so many more milestones for them to accomplish. And when God looks at us and we do a little few things, one on top of the other, or step by step, maybe he's looking at us and saying, wow, those milestones that you've achieved are great, but I've got so much more for you to accomplish, and I can't wait for you to experience those. And I thought that was something. It's amazing to think about in our development and our faith where we can go. So let's not forsake the good habits of faith. And if we can see God's goodness in front of us, let's not question that. Let's pray. Lord, as we come together today on this first day of the week, no matter what, if it is to deal with the vision of our church, maybe it has something to do with our personal lives, maybe it has something to do with our family, maybe it has some question or decisions that we have to make, I pray that we look to you as the ultimate motivator. There's people that have been in our lives, for sure, that have made a difference for us, but you are the one that does not grow faint. You are the one that does not grow weary, and you always have what's best for us in mind. Thank you for being able to see beyond the present, to see the future. And I pray that as we look toward whatever it is or however it is that we can take ownership in this cause, that we not only look to you for motivation, but we use that motivation that we gather from the word, that we gather from prayer, and that we gather from silence and just being in your presence, and then we pass that on to others. It's not something that's easy and it's not something that comes from just being, Lord. It does require discipline. It does require practice. But I pray in that experience that we find you, that we seek you, and that we can find you. Because the scriptures say, if we do that, we will find you. Thank you for us being able to be here today. We pray for all of those that are here. We pray for those that weren't able to make it here today. We pray for the men's ministry as they are making their way back. We pray for all of those who maybe have some sort of obstacle, some sort of Goliath in their way. We pray that you, that they remember that you are the one that can bring them through, to motivate them to do not only what's natural, but what's supernatural. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we close today, being a child of God, being a part of his family, there's no better time to do that. There's no better thing to do in your life. If you have been thinking about that, being able to put on Christ, to die to sin and be alive in Christ, we would love to do that with you today. We would love for you to join God's family. If there's something that you need to talk with somebody, there's so many people that are ready and willing to listen to you. There's no other thing that's more important than being here for you as God is here for us. Won't you join us as we together we stand and sing?